Scripture reading today is from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28, starting on page 1279 in your Pew Bible. Starting with verse 6, God sent a man named John, who came to tell about the light, to lead all people to have faith. John wasn't that light. He came only to tell about the light. Jumping to verse 19, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and temple helpers to ask John who he was. He told them plainly, "I am not the Messiah." Then, when they asked him if he was Elijah, he said, "No, I am not." And when they asked if he were the prophet, he also said, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you then? We have to give an answer to the ones who sent us. Tell us who you are." John answered in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am only someone shouting in the desert. Get the road ready for the Lord." Some Pharisees had also been sent to John. They asked him, "Why are you baptizing people if you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" John told them, "I use water to baptize people, but here with you is someone you don't know. Even though I came first, I am not good enough to untie his sandals." John said this as he was baptizing east of the Jordan River in Bethany.
Let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Back in September, our worship planning team gathered to plan our Advent and Christmas season, and we looked at a scripture cycle called the lectionary, which is a set list of scriptures by verse and chapter over a three-year cycle. And so we looked at the gospel readings for the season of Advent, this was the set reading for today, what we just heard Doris read. And from the whole cycle of gospel readings for Advent, our worship team came up with the theme that we're using, the perfect gift, and also with the sub-themes that we've had each week of this season. And as we planned the cycle and looked at sub-themes, we looked at the reading today, and we were so aware of how many questions were contained within it. In verse 19, the Jewish leaders asked John the Baptist who he was. Was he the Messiah? No, he said. In verse 21, they asked him if he was Elijah or a great prophet. No. In verse 22, the religious leaders threw their respective hands in the air and asked John, "Well, who are you then?" Quoting the prophet Isaiah, John replied, "I am only someone shouting in the desert, 'Get the road ready for the Lord.'" Despite this definitive answer, however, the questions weren't done yet. Because then in verse 24, a different set of Jewish religious leaders approached John the Baptist and asked him, "Why are you baptizing people if you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the great prophet?" "I use water to baptize people," John replied, "but here with you is someone you don't know. Even though I came first, I am not good enough to untie his sandals." John's answer that time probably led to a question the gospel writer chose to leave unasked. And that question, of course, was, "So, just who is this other guy then?" The people were still unsure who John was, and then he told them about some other person to watch for. The writer doesn't bother to have anyone actually ask this question, so just who is this other guy? And the folks who came up with the lectionary didn't think it necessary to include any more of John chapter 1 than what Doris just read. I use water to baptize people, John said, but here with you is someone you don't know. Even though I came first, I am not good enough to untie his sandals. And then this particular selection of the lectionary ends with the statement in verse 28 that John said this as he was baptizing east of the Jordan River in Bethany. At the end of this set of verses, there are so many questions left hanging in the air, begging to be answered. Frankly, that's probably how the creators of the lectionary wanted it. Questions asked, but left unanswered. Incidentally, if those who had created the lectionary had gone just one verse further for this particular reading, we would have been given the answer to the biggest question of this passage, the unspoken question about just who exactly it was John was preparing for. Today's reading ends with verse 28, with everyone wondering about this mysterious stranger. Who is he? What will he do? When will we see him? And then verse 29 says this: the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I told you about when I said someone else will come." Right there, very next verse, the verse right after today's official reading ends. The answer to everyone's questions. Who is the guy John was preparing everyone for? It's Jesus. And what exactly is so important about him? Why should we care? Well, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gospel writer John will spend the rest of his gospel teaching us just what exactly it means that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But if the creators of the lectionary had only gone one verse further for today's reading, we too wouldn't be left with all those questions hanging in the air. But I guess 'tis the season for questioning, don't you think? We wrap the gifts we give to others with fun wrapping paper, and we might even tie them up with nice bows. The wrapped gifts under our Christmas trees are themselves questions to be answered. How many of us, when looking at a wrapped gift, question what it is? We might pick it up and make some guesses based on its relative weight. Those of us who don't care about breakables might even shake those wrapped gifts in an attempt to answer the question of just what exactly is inside. Of course, these are the fun questions of the season. And we know they won't hang in the air or lay unanswered or unopened under the tree, as it were, forever. We know we'll get the answer to questions about our Christmas presents on or around December 25th. But this is a season for all sorts of other questions, too. Questions like, finances are so tight. What if we can't get the kids even half of what they're hoping they'll get for Christmas? Or, my family is a mess right now. How am I going to survive the next few weeks? Or, I have no idea where I'm supposed to be in life. How do I talk about that with my family over the holidays? Or, this will be my first Christmas alone. Am I going to be able to handle it? Or, the news is so awful these days. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. Why don't things ever seem to get better? People in this community, people in our families, and people here at McCabe are asking themselves these very questions right now. And unfortunately, these are not questions that will also be answered when we open our gifts on December 25th. Some of these questions are going to hang in the air, and there is no guarantee when or even if they'll be answered. Out and about in our culture, this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, and we're all supposed to have a holly jolly Christmas. and to be thrilled to pieces about time with family and about life in general. And if that's how you're feeling, that's wonderful. But I have no doubt a good percentage of us in this place right now and throughout our community are experiencing this time to be less than wonderful or holly jolly. Early on in my years as an associate pastor in Pierre, South Dakota, we started what's called a Blue Christmas worship service. If you're unfamiliar with this tradition, a Blue Christmas worship service is designed to give space for people to acknowledge pain, grief, loneliness, and sadness around this time of year. And of course, people experience hardship in this season for all sorts of reasons. Blue Christmas worship gives people a quiet place away from all the holly jolly, a place to give the pain and the burdens we are carrying to God, while also being reminded that Christmas is, in fact, all about our pain and our burdens and how God came to earth in Jesus Christ to bring eternal healing and hope. I knew churches around the country that offered these Blue Christmas services included Christmas carols in them, but the first year I planned a Blue Christmas service for the church I was serving, I remember thinking to myself, how am I going to find a handful of Christmas carols that communicate the sense of melancholy and hope that is needed for this particular worship service? I was nervous. I wasn't going to be able to find anything. I was just sure all of our Christmas carols were only happy. And then I actually started looking at all the lyrics for the Christmas carols in our United Methodist hymnal. There is melancholy everywhere in our Christmas carols. My struggle very quickly became not, will I find any melancholy Christmas carols, but how in the world will I choose only a few out of the many? Though we will not be having a Blue Christmas worship service here at McCabe this year, it is something we will plan for next year and hopefully in future years. Too many people choose especially to stay away from church around this time of year simply because they can't handle all the happiness when they are feeling anything but happy. Blue Christmas invites people into the church specifically to enter God's presence in the midst of their sadness, in the midst of their questions. But really, this season of Advent, this four-week journey toward Christmas, is designed to be just such a time of longing, a time of acknowledging that all is not right in our world, in our lives, and even in our own hearts and minds. And it has to be that kind of time. Because Jesus was born into this world that we all might be saved through him. That the weary world might find true joy in the midst of sorrow. That we might discover peace in the midst of chaos. And that we might find forgiveness from our mistakes and from the pain inflicted on us by others. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward them and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Since our worship planning team made the decision to follow the lectionary gospel readings for this Advent season, it is perhaps a bit unfair of me to have used my sermon to add that extra verse that's not part of the standard reading for today. Perhaps, like the creators of the lectionary, I should have allowed all of those questions to simply hang in the air unanswered. Who are you, John? Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you the great prophet? And for whom are you preparing us? Who is he? What's he going to do, and why should we care? At a time of year when so many good, faithful people struggle with their own questions and challenges, perhaps there is beauty in letting any such challenges and questions simply hang in the air for a while with no clear answer. Yet God always speaks messages of hope and good news, especially when we are questioning, especially when we are struggling. We don't always hear that good news, and hope is often hard to find and hard to hold on to. So that's why we need that extra verse. That's why we need to hear and remember today just who exactly Jesus is and why exactly he came. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward them and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If you don't find answers, good news, or hope in those words today, may you find them eventually. Let's pray. God of questions and answers, there are times when we are left hanging, times when we are unsure not only about the future, but when we are unsure about the present. As we draw ever closer to Christmas Day, be with us on this Advent journey. Help us to sense your brightness and your warmth. When we feel far from you, stay ever close. And may we remember that your Son, Jesus, is truly the perfect gift, the one who takes away sin and sorrow and blesses a weary world with joy. Amen.